Well, good evening, everybody. Tonight, what I'd like to do is conclude a series that's been going on now for quite a long time. I actually looked, and on and off, with the number of times I've preached on a Sunday evening. It's lasted over 2 years, this. Not every week. But tonight is the final installment. One of the things I think I need to do, having sort of took so long over it, and obviously we've had changes and everything else, is to recap. What we were looking at were the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And the idea was looking for heroes. What I'd just like to do is, before we do that, is just there's a short clip of a song and presentation. Hopefully, it's all going to come together and work. Okay, Stephen.
Whoever told you you can't win? Whoever said if you fail, try
If you've got your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 5, just going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So as I say, what I'd like to do tonight is recap the points that I drew out over those weeks. When I was considering this, one of the things I said to start off with was a hero is somebody who's out of the ordinary. Does something different to other people. Stands out because of perhaps courage or fearlessness or daring or whatever you like to call it. Somebody who does something that other people will look at and think, that's not what I would have done. And God is looking for his heroes, people who show his characteristics. And as it says on the screen, you could be a hero. The heroes are those who are poor in spirit. Now, it's not talking about normal poverty. It's not a case of having insufficient money and being unable to make ends meet. What it's talking about is those who realize they are spiritually poor. And the emphasis on those who realize they are spiritually poor, because each one of us is spiritually poor. The ones that he's talking about here are the ones who realize in real terms they have nothing. In terms that endure throughout eternity, they have very little. In matters of real worth, they understand that they are penniless. In things that God values, they realize they have so little. They realize that they stand before God and can offer him nothing. If we are in a position where we realize our true state, our poverty before God, then it says there in Matthew that those people will be blessed. Because we have to realize we have nothing before we can have something of real value and lasting worth. If we have that realization, if we've grasped the fact that God is the one who has things of value and the world has got it all wrong, if we can hold that, then we are the ones who are poor in spirit, and we are the ones who will be heroes, out of the ordinary, because our values are so different to those around us who don't know God. The heroes are those who mourn. We all experience loss of someone at some time or other, but it means more than that. In the song Endless Hallelujah, Matt Redman penned these words: "When I stand before your throne, dressed in glory not my own, what a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears or broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key. Everything as it was meant to be." The ones who mourn realize that we are impoverished, yes, but we've lost so much. We've lost our communion with a loving Heavenly Father. We're now separated and in a natural state under a curse. We've lost our first state. We've been deprived of that fellowship that was there. The closeness that Adam and Eve had with God has been lost. And people in this world are destitute. The pain is real, the pain is felt, and it's a feeling of desolation. In Matthew 23:37, these are the words of Jesus speaking over Jerusalem. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I would have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under a wing, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate." The ones who mourn, the ones that it's talking about here, realize that the world is under God's curse. They mourn the desolation. They mourn the rebellion. They mourn the hard-heartedness, and realize that the first state has been lost. God comforts those who have lost that, because he gives us the new relationship to restore what has been lost. He restores the communion. He gives us joy in place of mourning. The ones who mourn will be comforted. Perhaps you, like me, when you were first brought to the place where you realized what you were before God, you had that sense that I am lost. And until we've got to that place, we can't be found. That sense of desolation, that sense of loss of what we had before, is got rid of by the joy that God gives us. He comforts those who mourn. The ones who mourn are the ones who can be heroes, God's heroes. The heroes are those who are meek. But in the world's terms, we say, well, who wants to be meek? The last thing anybody wants in this world to be known for is the meekness. Because meekness looks like weakness. But the word that's translated there, meek, in the Greek, has quite a rich and wide-ranging application. It can be used of a wild stallion that has been tamed, brought under control, and that one is described as being meek. The spirit of the horse isn't broken, but it is harnessed. It's broken in. It's harnessed for service. The spirit of the meek Christian is not a broken spirit. It's a spirit that's been harnessed. God doesn't smash us to pieces, but we're broken in so that we can be used, so that we can be tamed, so that rebellion has gone. The great biblical expositor Matthew Henry defined meekness as the opposite of self-will towards God. Another meaning of the word is this. It speaks of words that have been very carefully chosen and that will soothe strong emotions. Those are called meek words, calming words, soothing words. It can be used of an ointment that's used to remove a fever. When a wound gets infected, you see it flare up, it goes red. If the ointment is put on that and it soothes it down, that could be described as a meek ointment, an ointment that soothes and settles. It was also used once in this way. A child was being treated by a physician, and the child asked the physician to be meek or tender. So we see that it can be used of somebody who is tenderly applying something to somebody else. That can be meekness. Meekness is respectful. It's got enviable qualities. It's strength under control. It's being calm and peaceful in a heated atmosphere. It's emitting a soothing effect on those who are angry or otherwise beside themselves. It can be displaying tact and courtesy. It can cause others to retain their dignity. It's humility towards God, and it's gentleness with men, because we realize that God is in control. Weakness and meekness are not the same. Weakness is an inability, a lack of strength. Meekness is a choice, and it's a harness strength. It's courage under control, coupled with kindness. If we're displaying meekness, if we're displaying one of God's characteristics, then we can be a hero. The heroes are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. A deep, earnest, basic desire and need for righteousness. So often people have something within them that calls for what's right. So often it's when they've been wronged. But this is a righteousness that's not a fad. It's not a case of when it suits. It's sometimes a case of when it hurts. Even when it does us harm, we do the right thing. Even when we're worse off for it, in the world's view, we still do the right thing. When people say, oh, well, keep that quiet, we stand up for what is right. It's a deep desire, it's a deep need, a hunger, a craving for, a straining for righteousness. What is right? The ones who display righteousness are the ones who are the heroes. The heroes show mercy. We can find it very hard to understand mercy. We often want justice when we're wronged, but we want mercy also when we're on the other end. When we really understand our situation, then we will understand that we need mercy. But even when we received mercy, sometimes we find it so hard to give. Mercy is not being right or doing right. Mercy is doing the unexpected, the undeserved. Again, it's a characteristic of God. These Beatitudes are showing us what God is like and saying, do the same. God is merciful. He goes out of his way to help those who don't deserve anything. When Jesus was speaking in the Old Testament, he was speaking in Aramaic, and the word that he probably used there is chesed. It doesn't mean only to sympathize with a person. It means to actually climb into the skin and experience things from their point of view. To be how they are. To know what they know. To feel what they feel. It's that close identifying with. We need to love without condition, forgive without hope of having any return whatsoever. God pours out his mercy on those who don't deserve it. God pours out his mercy on those who will even turn round and refuse it. God goes out of his way to help those who don't want to know him, who will call him an enemy and curse him. And God wants us to show that same characteristic. He wants us to be heroes. The heroes are those who are pure in heart. The Bible makes it very clear that we are not clean, that we are not pure. Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, who can say, I've kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God himself makes purity possible. Peter, when speaking on the day of Pentecost, Peter speaking to the non-Israelites said this, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted those who were outside the covenant by giving them the Holy Spirit. He didn't discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. It's an ongoing process. Hebrews 12:1 says this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans who are cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat and no parasitic sins. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee the desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're encouraged to be pure. God makes it possible for us to be pure. He purifies us at salvation and says, go and be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we are the ones who are pure in heart, and God makes it possible to maintain that purity, then we can be a hero. We can be purified day by day, because we so often sin day by day, but he makes it possible for us to have that purity. And we can be the hero. The heroes are the peacemakers. Peace is something that God seeks earnestly between us and him. Making peace is very important. Romans 12:18 says this, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. How far are we prepared to go? What's our limit? God goes to the uttermost to make peace possible. No personal price is too high. It's not all important because God doesn't set aside his truth or his righteous demands, but he gives his everything to make peace possible. And he calls us to do likewise. As God calls people to be saved, he calls them to peace. To be saved is to be at peace with God. Peace in our innermost being, peace at our centre, a heart at peace, a heart at rest, knowing completeness, soundness and tranquility. God calls us to be the ones who don't just receive his peace, but also to make peace around us. To be people of peace. A peacemaker can be a hero. Heroes are those who are persecuted. Jesus said in Matthew 24 verse 9, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." The worldly system is very different to God. It operates on a different plane altogether. Different values, different ways of doing things. But what is crucial? We will be persecuted because we are different. We'll be persecuted because we're working to a different standard. We'll be persecuted because we're prepared to stand for what is right. There will be personal suffering when we stand for what is right. It's been said that when there was the civil war between the Hutus, well, not so much civil, well, it was in the country, yeah, between the Hutus and the Tutsis in Africa. At times there were people who stood and would not give up those who were from a different tribe. They said, no, the people like us, and they died along with them. They were prepared to give the ultimate sacrifice. We see it in World War II with Corrie ten Boom and her family, where they hid the Jews. That was the right thing to do, and they suffered as a result of that. The ones who are persecuted for righteousness' sake are the ones who will be heroes. As it says there on the screen, you could be a hero. If you show these characteristics, you will be heroic. Not so much talking about presenting the gospel to somebody, what we normally call witnessing, but generally standing up for God's values in this world. That is being God's witness. That is standing for what is right, what is true. Living according to the nature that God implants in us at salvation. Displaying his nature, his characteristics, we're witnessing to the truth that God is alive, well, and wants to be known in this world. Jesus goes on to talk about salt. Salt affects its surroundings. Our way of being, our way of living, doing what's right, will affect those around us. It's simply being who we are now. It's displaying God's character to those in the world. Jesus says there, if the salt loses its saltiness. And that's an interesting word. Originally, it meant for somebody to act in a foolish manner. Somebody not displaying their normal way of behaviour, but acting the fool. And it came to be taken as salt that no longer tastes salty. And what Jesus is saying here is, you, once you've been saved, have a new nature, a new character. Live it. Don't act like everybody else around you. Be different. Be who you are now. Not who you were. Don't act like them. Be who you are. We've got to display God's character, God's nature, and wait. 1 Peter 3:15-16 says this: "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this in gentleness and respect." We act and wait for the question, why? We earn the right to speak because people see that we're not doing what they would do. But you shouldn't do it that way. Why are you running yourself down? Why are you allowing yourself to be in, you know, a place of persecution? What's wrong with you? Keep your head down. How many times have you heard that? Rather than standing up for what's right. As we display God's characteristic, the question will come, why? Why are you being different? With Dan, at that point, have a right to say, because what God has done in me, He's changed me. And that will make a mark, because you're saying, I'm doing this because of what God has done to me. Rather than just hammering them with the gospel, as sometimes we can do. We earn a right to speak, and we can be the hero. The light is set on a hill and shines. Jesus said, don't put it under a basket, under a bushel, but allow it to shine. Take the shade down and let it blaze. Be who you are. Be who you are to those around you, to your friends, your family, your neighbours. Be me to them. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus calls us not to hide away. Jesus calls us to be His children in this world. As we do that, we are being the heroes. You could be a hero. Will you say, I will be a hero? It's a question and it's a challenge. Are you prepared to live the way that God has called you to be? Are you prepared to display His nature? Are you prepared to be the hero that God has called you to be? Are you prepared to be His hero where He has set you? His light, His witness, His salt. You can be a hero. Will you be?